The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
We are rolling. What is up, dude?
Oh, you know, big roll. Collective sigh of relief.
Oh,
so
dude,
far
the air is cleaner. There's a spring in everybody's step. The sky is bluer.
Oh man.
Oh Jesus.
I mean,
who would think I'd be this excited over a 78-year-old weirdo?
I mean, I don't know what your fetishes are, man.
I've gone on record saying I don't even like the guy. I'm just so thrilled that the world's biggest fucking embarrassment is packing his bags.
Yeah. Nobody,
hallelujah.
Nobody's, the excitement is not for Biden. It's for anybody else.
Oh, God.
So,
it's just too much to even. I just love how the biggest scumbag in American political history is just can't wrap his mind around people voting for the other guy. Like, what?
Well, it's not. It's like it's professional wrestling. He's locked into a character.
Mm-hmm.
And he feels that the fans, you know, they. It truly is like, and the fans are like professional. It's not healthy, but we'll see what, you know, the thing is now that he's cornered and on the way out, they can cause a lot of damage in the next 2 months. Still don't know what the, you know, control of the Senate's going to be. And still a lot of things up in the air. But, yeah, it's the fucking Four Seasons thing was, oof.
That seemed like a Nathan For You sketch. That didn't seem real.
There was whatever, Zach Bornstein, I don't know him, but I guess he's a comedy writer, but his tweet about, like, he's like, I could write jokes for the next 800 years and not come up with something as perfect as this.
I mean, this is the top level of American government, and they made such a bonehead mistake there. Like, so we're supposed to believe that the people that can't even book a fucking press conference at the right location are going to uncover voter fraud. Okay.
It would be great comedy fiction and very sad truth is what it is.
I mean, what the hell? Like, I wonder who is responsible for that. Was that a Giuliani thing? Was that lower down the ladder? Like, I'd love to know who fucked up on that and who signed off on that.
But,
like,
my thing is, like, imagine if that's the only thing that happened, the kind of hilarity of it, but that combined with 4 years of just his own rallies telling people he's beat COVID, our super spreader events. Like, I don't need to see any movies or any fiction about this. Like, oh, here's gonna be the comedy. I don't need to see it. I don't need to see the Gary Sanchez production of, like, no, we got it. We got it. No, give it 10 years, man. Give it 10 years and then we can laugh about it. But right now it's like I said, we got, I'm trying to keep my cynicism in check because, you know, everybody deserves to have a good time right now. I just feel we've moved from the hooker that tells you she's fucking you for your money to the girlfriend experience of, like, oh, that's a nice shirt. You look handsome. Like, that same thing, but just different approach. But hey, all right, man. All right, buddy. Let's not be cynical. Tell myself that.
Well, and yeah, I'm suspicious of Biden. First of all, keep in mind, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm not a political pundit. I didn't care for him when I was, you know, rooting for Bernie. Of course, I was pulling for Bernie over Biden. But at the very least, at the absolute minimum, I feel like we're going to have a little bit of common sense and a little bit of common decency, something we've been starved from for 4 years. Just a little common sense and a little common decency. It's amazing how far that will go. And we've had none of that. None of that just from this fucking clown.
Act like a president.
Yeah. Act like a fucking president. Ugh.
That's all. Just act like a guy who's aware that he is a leader of the free world. You know, that's all. Anyway, I feel like there's not much more I can talk about on it.
No.
We're all happy. We're all getting there. Jubilation. If you're not happy, then you happen to listen to this show. Your next 4 years can be like our last 4 years. So I'll say tough shit to you.
Yeah.
That's not right to hate you, but tough shit to you.
Get over it, snowflake.
The hypocrisy. And like, it's just exhausting pointing out the hypocrisy of both sides. Well, he said that. Well, then that. It's like, we've all had to pay so much attention to this shit. And that's like, look, like that, like voter turnout being as high as like that. I was trying to write a bit about how, like, when you try to find the positives, like, look at how much attention this brought and got people to vote.
Mm-hmm.
More votes than ever for a presidential election.
Yeah.
So polarizing enough to get people to participate is a good thing. That it encouraged people to participate and understand that them voting does make a difference is a good thing. Now you can sit there and make shit up about, ooh, fucking fraud and this and that, and just look at how the exact thing that everybody said Trump is going to do, he did. He told everybody to, somebody pointed this out, this wasn't me noticing it, but he's like, he told everybody, like, don't mail it in, voter fraud. So all, like, the majority of Trump supporters went the day of. And that's why those numbers got counted first, and it looked like it was going to win. Everybody else mailed it in. It takes time to do that stuff. And you're going to be like, whoa, dead people voted, and this and that, and fraud, and this and that. Wait till your boy's in jail for all the tax evasion, every other fucking thing he did, and you can start talking about cheating. But anyway.
I don't understand where the confusion was, though. He told you to not vote by mail. And then they're like, why are all these mail-in ballots for Biden? Like, it's such a low level of stupidity that it's unfathomable. Like, do you not understand what you're saying and what you're doing? Like, he said, don't vote by mail. And then they're confused why all the mail-in votes are for Biden. Yeah, it's because your idiot leader told you not to.
Well,
it's and then the stop the count the votes, contradicting each other. Like, how, it's not that confusing.
Well,
like, Trump doesn't, to put it in baseball terms, Trump doesn't understand why the home team gets to bat in the bottom of the ninth. Like, that's an analogy that's probably going to fall on deaf ears with you.
But I don't know either, but okay.
But it's like, all your votes were day of in person. Of course, those are going to come in first. And then they're just like, how the fuck are all these mail-in votes for Biden? Because you told your crew not to vote by mail. Where's the confusion, idiot?
What's really important is that everybody doubts the democratic process now. That's what's great. That everybody across the board doubts it. And that's only going to be great for the future. Did you have any celebratory America meals? You have like a big steak, with a sparkler in or anything?
I mean, that's just every night in general. But especially
big pot
after
of Dave's
such a
America
long week,
chili.
I was just ecstatic because, I mean, as everybody knows, like it took day number five for us to finally get some sort of confirmation. Every morning I was waking up last week, checking and watching the news, and it was exhausting.
Yeah, but then finally, I kept refreshing
But I don't know, man. Like I said, I'm not super political, but just the level of stupidity that's been rampant. Here's the other thing. It's not just that he's a fucking con man and an idiot and has no integrity and no character. It's a fucking miracle that he hasn't done more damage. Like, it's a fucking miracle
Buddy,
that
like
he didn't
I
get
said,
us into
man,
some war.
You got,
yeah. He's not just an embarrassment. He's a liability.
War
he's
with
a
who?
Global
he made
liability.
Friends with dictators. That was one of the points that people like, you know, you try and read the counterpoints. Read what your enemy has to say about things to understand them. Like, well, no major conflicts. Well, he was a president, like touting that as a triumph. Where it's like, yeah, because the man is buddies with war criminals.
Yeah.
The buddies. Yeah. Oh, well, we improve relationships with North Korea. Why do you want that? Oh, the place where they starve. Good. You should go there because you're behaving like that. You start calling them dear leader at this point.
Ugh.
So,
well, I've never seen such a cult mentality.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you want to pray? Go watch documentaries about North Korea. Go look at Google Maps when they have how there's no power in North Korea. Look at a map of the world at night where you could see like the lights in major cities. And when you go over countries where they don't have the undeveloped countries that don't have a power grid in place. There, when I was there, they would at the DMZ, the border wall between North and South Korea, they always put their strongest soldier face to face at like the gate that they used to cross. And they do all kinds of crazy shit there. Like when they're having like a meeting room, I think it's the North Koreans, like they do this chain of like hand holding. So whoever's going over to the South Korean side to like deliver anything can't just break away and run free to South Korea. Like they all do this like human chain to make sure they don't leave. And they put the strongest soldier from each side. And the soldiers from North Korea are like on average, however many inches smaller and skinnier because of generations of malnourishment.
Mm.
But anyway, yeah, I'm glad he sowed peace with them.
Yeah. Oh, it's just
counterpoint. It is. I mean, the people that hate you the most and also have nuclear weapons. Yeah, maybe it's a good thing to kiss up to him. But I don't think he was doing it to keep us safe. I think he was doing it because he admires the following that those kind of leaders have.
Oh, so, absolutely. Yeah.
What are we gonna do?
You can learn a thing or two.
Yeah, but it's all good times, buddy.
Yeah, man. What else going on, man? I saw that Dirt Nap went to the vet. How's she doing?
Good, man. Well, I was just like, all right, let's get old girl tuned up for the winter time. You know, because she's part of the crew now. She's part of the gang over here.
Yeah, that's awesome.
She's part of the fans. So we got her. Yeah, I put that video up.
Dude,
I get it. I did it. Amateur hour. I should have grabbed her by the scruff of the neck. I know that's how you're supposed to do it. It just feels mean. It feels mean.
Yeah.
But that's how the...
That's no easy task, getting a cat in a carrier like that.
She fought a little bit, but it wasn't bad. I thought we were real nervous that she was going to hate us afterwards and run off. But she got a little more spring in her step. I think, actually, she got her worm medicine, and she's feeling good. She's out there. They figure she's about 9 or 10 years old. It's a she. Confirmed it's a she. We were like, I don't know, man. Root around. You, we're paying you. You go take a peek. We got a whole little thing. The bird feeder out there. We got squirrels. We got Dirt Nap.
Dude, I saw,
it's like real, it's
I
like,
saw that video, too.
Oh, that fat squirrel? The one that Rachel saw?
You really? Did you put peanuts in the bird in the squirrel feeder?
Yeah, I think one of them just out there. One boss fight squirrel is just out there eating. Like, they go, like, I'll put, it looks like it's got to be, that little feeder, I'll say, is about 6 by 6 by 6. And I'll fill that thing up. It's gone by the end of the day. They're going,
really?
I mean, it's getting cold out. They got to stock up. But, like, just understanding your grandparents when they would just sit there and, like, have a binoculars and a book of bird identification. I get it now, man.
Yeah.
I suppose sit out there and watch those critters live their lives.
I love it, man. I used to have all kind of bird feeders back when I had an actual house, and it's fascinating. It's just, they go nuts. They love it.
Mm-hmm.
Little hummingbird feeder. You had hummingbird feeders at the old place, right? I remember that.
Yeah, we got them here. There wasn't too many around here, but...
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's so chill, man. I love it.
That's great, man. I'm happy for you, dude. That's that fat squirrel. That was, I mean, dude,
big boy out there,
boss hog.
Just like, I mean, good. I don't know if that's good or bad for winter, because then you got that he's gonna be fat come spring. He got too fat. I think they don't have self control. I understand bulking up for winter, but this guy, like, that's got to be like a heart issue. It's already cold. Your blood's already going to be thin, and then you got a heart. Well, maybe that's good. You want thinner blood if your heart's having trouble. You want thinner viscosity pumping through the pipes if the pump's got trouble. So maybe we're doing more harm than good, lavishing all these creatures with treats. Helen's getting chunky. We're putting weight on her. I don't think she can. I realized the conflict and be like, oh, we should have a bird feeder and a wild cat. I'm like, oh, we're just making a buffet for her out there. But fortunately, we're feeding her the fancy feast. She's not hungry for that wild bird meat anymore.
Oh, man, all my pets are obese. It's so hard not to let them indulge. There you go, buddy.
How can you? Oh, man. Charlie can't be obese. That dog's too small to get fat.
Dude, you ain't seen him lately. He looks like a football. He really does. Looks like a football with legs.
There's no way that can be healthy for that animal.
No, he's portly. Well, that's the thing. Like, though, I mean, I'm joking about it, but like, no, we do try to, you know, keep him in check somewhat. But like, unless you just, because he won't eat his food all at once. So it's not like it's meal time. Like, all right, you put out some food and watch him eat it all. Then you could just, you know, ration it out, monitor how much he eats. But they don't eat that way. You just put it in a bowl and he just eats till it's gone. And then, you know, we lose track of how much we put in and when we put it in. It's like, oh, the bowl's empty. Put some food in there.
You got to put them critters on a schedule, man.
they eat each other's food. It's just chaos. So
you got a regimen. You got to get them on the treadmill.
I'm going to get a little miniature treadmill for him. He can run right side by side.
Put him on the leash and keep him right behind you on the treadmill.
Oh, man, that would be funny. But, yeah.
Fucking little fat-ass tiny dog.
He's a little fat bastard.
Just gurgly barks.
And Katie feeds him human food all the time, and I don't know enough, but I'm just like, should he be eating pancakes and syrup? And she's like, it's fine. He just.
I won't know about fine, but I bet he's loving it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got to do something.
How's your dog going to have a heart attack before you do? I don't think they make the tiny defibrillators for dogs.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he's a little fat bastard.
Just rubbing his nipples off on a sidewalk. Where did I see that once? God. Just a dog with a big dick. And it was like the funniest, saddest thing. Cause you could tell like it was just rubbing raw on the ground.
Oh.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Oh, speaking of big dicks.
Speaking of BDs.
Dude, I like the new merch. Oh, saw that today.
People wanted it. People wanted it.
Where can we find the new Canane upside down bat shirt?
Oh, man. Anxious and Angry. Go to anxiousandangry.com. My buddy Ryan from Off With Their Heads is running his clothing operation over there.
That's a good looking shirt.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty classic old school Batman logo. It was actually one of Luke Douglas Fields' pals. I want to get his name right. I put it in the Instagram post. But they came and saw me a while ago in Denver, and he had drawn that up right away. It's just the classic Batman thing.
Yeah.
Keith P. Rain was the artist who did
it.
And
right on.
Yeah, he had them. And I'm like, oh, that's funny. I'm like, I don't know if I'd make a shirt, because I'm trying not to make like joke shirts. But then that was subtle enough, and people wanted it. I'm like, all right, here you go. Here you go. Have at it, everybody. But yeah, so that's out there. Wow. So if you want, I think Ryan says he's going to make some enamel pins, of which I thought the enamel pin game was a little overrun, but if you want a little big dick canine bat for your lapel, those will be coming shortly. Well, that's where your merch is too. Your biscuit shirts and Boogie Monster stuff's over there too. Anxious and angry. He's doing all our stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Fill up that cart.
Holidays are coming around and coming up.
That's true. What else been going on, man? You've been shredding this week? Any rad activities? Anything?
No, it's cold up here, dog.
Yeah. Well, what's the temperature right now?
It's in the 30s.
Ooh.
30s and rainy. Like, even I was like getting excited. I'm like, ooh, I get to ride in some fall weather. I'm thinking like, ooh, 47 degrees with a crisp. It's like, man, it's cold as shit. It's 72 in Chicago right now.
Really?
Yeah. Right now where I go ride, it's 39 degrees and it's raining. So I'm like, you know what? If I was in shape, maybe I'd go for it. But I'm just getting back from my foot being all messed up. So we're just shredding on the inside. We're playing the guitar. We're putting on weight like all the animals. We're putting on weight for winter. I did a show last night, dude. When's the last time you did a show?
February.
I did a spot.
You do a real show?
Yeah.
In person?
I did a spot with old Sean Jordan and Simon Gibson, who's up here right now.
Right on. How'd it go?
It was fun. I don't want to mistake like a good time with like everybody's just excited to be out. And like you're saying, like the vibes lighter in the world with the election results and the idea that like there might be a COVID vaccine. But you never want to like mistake. Yeah. Like I am also a fantastic comedian. It's like, no, if there's a good mood, like, you know, when you see a room that's just hot and like everybody can just like, you're like, oh, even the guys that aren't funny are crushing. You're like, good for you. Get a taste of it. You know, I kind of felt it was that, but it still felt good to do a show and try out some new bits and have a good time with it.
Well, that's good, buddy.
New fun bit is, the confusion of being able to shoot guns on Bureau of Land Management land, but also being called BLM land, which was like more of a riff last night. It's like, yeah, it sounds weird. It's like, yeah, you just go out to BLM land. You can shoot at anything out there. It's like, oh, no, not Black Lives Matter. It's not. No, it's a different place. The idea that I'm just going to a protest and shooting at anything I want.
Yeah. No, don't do that.
It's all BLM out there. You can just shoot at anything. No. Oh, confusion. It was funny last night, Dave. Like I said, good vibes. You know, here, well, not so much. The riff, it fell flat.
The government's fine with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet they are.
I encourage it. This is what your tax dollars pay for. What? But, yeah, man, it just felt good to do a show. It felt good to be. It was an outdoor thing, so it was chilly. But, look, it was good that. Seeing bars try to adapt, bars and restaurants try to adapt. And that's what I'm a little worried about because it's cold here, at least in L.A. You know, if there's space, you could do whatever you want outside. But here it's getting.
Yeah.
Buy stock in space heaters, man.
Yeah.
Buy stock in space heaters right now. Should have already, but I think now's the time. But, yeah, you should get a spot. Get a spot under your belt, man. Relive what it feels like.
I know, dude.
Like.
I was thinking. I've been writing a few jokes here and there, and with the thought of, like, am I ever going to get to use this again? It's just so weird. So weird. I forget that I'm a comedian.
What? You got a new joke? You want to run a new bit? You want to run a bit?
Nah, I don't want to waste it. I don't want to waste it right here.
You don't want to waste it?
I mean, it's a pretty good premise. All right, I'll do it. Here's my new premise.
Nobody listening to this comedy podcast would want to hear a joke. I always felt the same way, like, if I do it on the podcast. But now it's like, oh, no, you workshop it. People are okay with hearing it again. I always thought differently, too, but they're all right with it. What's the premise? Tell me the premise. We'll figure it out.
Let me see. I've got it written down somewhere here. Of course, now it's gone. Hold on just a second. Let me get the wording right. I want to make sure I get the wording right.
Oh, boy. Now I got to laugh.
Yeah.
No.
And it's... Oh, damn it. It's not in my joke. Oh, did I erase it?
Did you forget it?
Good job. Fucking... No, I've got it. I just want to get the... Hold on. What the fuck? You put me on the spot here.
Sorry, man. This is actually more fun to listen to you try to decide where it is.
Oh, man, it's fucking gone.
Uh-oh.
I must have... I got this thing... I don't know. I'm having trouble with my damn... notes on this iPhone. The difference between, like, the notes and then the shit that's in the cloud. I don't know what the hell's going on. Anyway, I'll just try to do it from memory. The premise is I'm an Atlanta Braves fan, you know, but I'm conflicted because our beloved Tomahawk Chop is under attack, no pun intended there. And I get it, you know, it's Native Americans and stuff, but like racism aside, it's still chopping another human being's head with a bladed weapon. Like, everybody's talking about whether it's racist or not. I just don't know if that's a family-friendly communal activity that we should, you know, be pantomiming close-range, brutal murder.
Is that the idea, that to decapitate your foe?
Well, I don't know if it's decapitate or, but the actual motion of the tomahawk chop is just like if you had a tomahawk, like you're just chopping them in the skull. And it's just so violent. But everybody's like, let's racism aside, we still shouldn't be pantomiming close range murder with a bladed weapon.
Violence to
that's
opponent.
All I got so far.
What about a tomahawk steak? Is that racist?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it could be conceived as racist, but
why is it called? Yeah, why is it called tomahawk steak?
Well, because the bone sticks out. And then with the meat at the top of the bone, it looks like a tomahawk.
I see. Have you ever eaten one of those?
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. You're paying for that bone too, you know, they charge you by weight. So you're paying a lot of extra for that bone that you're not going to eat. It's a novelty.
It feels like they're going for the fajitas pageantry. You know, you take it out, you parade it around, like, look at that, you know. And then somebody pointed out, like, if fajitas, they don't have to do that at all. It's just the smell, yeah. Like, it just sells more.
Mm-hmm.
Sell the sizzle kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's more of a presentation thing, but, you know. I don't know. I mean, I really... Talking about the Braves and all that, I don't really care. You know, I not that I don't care that it's racist. I'm saying if we need to change the name of the team, lose the tomahawk chop, I don't care. You know, I get it. We've talked about that before, like utilizing another race of people as your mascot.
Yeah.
I get it.
Somebody else was like, I saw something online. I'm sure it was a meme or something. Just how it's like, it's just a shit time to be an Atlanta sports fan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is the crowd? Do you guys have a hockey team?
No, we used to probably 15 years ago. The Thrashers. I don't think we've got a new one since then. But nobody supported it because it's the South. Even though I understand there's other Southern teams. I think Tampa Bay won the Stanley Cup recently or something. I don't know,
hockey would be more popular in the South, given like an air conditioned stadium.
Yeah, and there's so many northern transplants that moved to Atlanta for work. So, but for whatever reason, we didn't support it. And I get it. Like, I'm not a hockey fan. I'm not against it, but I didn't grow up with it. Like, I should be. Like, it's fast. It's violent. You know, yeah. I'm sure it's a fascinating sport, but I didn't grow up playing it. I didn't grow up watching it, and I couldn't care less. Like, just doesn't do anything for me. I like watching the fights every now and then. Like, I'll Google hockey fights. But, yeah, I've never been a fan.
I didn't know you could just fight if you want to fight. Like, that's like, oh, I want to fight now. And then they fight. Like, there's no rhyme or reason. Mm-hmm. And then it's totally up to the refs to be like, oh, I guess we should stop this now.
Yeah.
Like, it's not illegal. You could start a fight. You could just be fighting. And then somebody would be like, all right, let's knock it off.
Yeah. Oh, I found my note here. All right, I'll read it how it's written.
Okay.
Yeah, let's play Joke Machine. Why not? We're not doing any real shows. I mean, you are now. The Braves tomahawk controversy. Possible racism aside, it's still pantomiming chopping a human being in the head. Graphic close-range murder with a bladed weapon. Way worse than pantomiming a gun. Guns are mass-produced and fired from a safe distance. The Native American tomahawk took weeks to carve out of rocks and jawbones so that not if but when you have to violently hack your neighbor to death, you had a trusty tool to grant them a gory and grisly death. It shouldn't be seen as a communal, family-friendly activity in the name of team spirit. Yay, Braves! Massive head wound! Massive head wound! Cut your ear off! Go, team! There we go.
Your writing is so well put versus your recipe. Like, get you some of this, chop up the fuck out of it, throw it in there. Such a concisely worded bit. Like, are you turning That's this in? Is this journalism? What is this? Like, this is an op-ed piece that you took the time to write where everything else, like, who boy farts and belches. Like, damn, Dave can sit down and, like, write a letter to the editor if he wants.
Well, that's why I'm a professional comedian, not a professional chef. I'm an amateur chef.
He's articulate. I got all kind of good notes here.
Got another one. My cat often vomits up his dinner, and it's completely unchewed, so he's just swallowing it whole. The only meal he's ever had, that's all he eats. It's not that the food is making him sick or something. It doesn't agree with him. He just forgot how to eat the dish. It's the only dish he's ever been served, and he forgot how to eat it.
They go hard in the paint. Helen's done that. Yeah. Rachel said, I guess she was hungry because she almost heaved because she was just chomping so much of it up.
Yeah, like little Truman here will puke up, and I know it's gross, sorry for that, but it's completely, not just undigested, unchewed. Like he just swallowed it whole. And then, dummy.
They're not sitting there savoring the subtleties. I sit there and I put, like, the crunchy treats on top of the wet cat food, thinking I'm adding some texture and some layers to it. Like, the cat doesn't give a shit. That was back when Gallagher was, like, the funniest guy. Like, Gallagher had funny jokes. People forget that if you're 10 years old and you're just watching Gallagher, and Gallagher's like, I buy my cat all kinds of cat food, and then it goes in the corner, just licks his butt. Why don't they make butt-flavored cat food? I'm like, that's a great observation, Gallagher. They should make butt-flavored cat food. I'm going to be a comedian one day because this guy is spitting truth. Like, that's how I thought about it at that age. I truly thought that's how I thought back then. Like, this is genius. Between him and Dave Barry, I don't know if it gets any funnier.
Spitting truth. Oh, Lord.
How come you drive on a parkway and park on a driveway? Fucking my mind is blown, dude.
Is that a Dave Barry joke?
That's a Gallagher joke.
I remember that joke. I didn't know that was his.
This guy is blowing my mind.
Oh, my God. That's funny. Drive on a parkway, park on a driveway.
I don't know, Gallagher. I don't know.
I remember somebody had a similar joke years ago. This was way before I even started comedy, but I thought this is so funny about how you can measure time. Let's see. Let me see if I can get this right. You can measure distance with time, but you can't measure time with distance. For example, like, how far away do we get to Kyle's house? Oh, about 10 minutes. But you can't say, hey, what time do you get off? Work. 5 miles. I always thought that was funny. I'm not doing it justice, but that sounds like a Gallagher joke.
That was, my dad's favorite one to quote is George Carlin. He's like, George Carlin always says, like, about, like, what you could say on TV. He's like, you could say you pricked your finger, but you can't finger your prick. And, like, he's, every time, it's like, it's like, I don't, that's good. Like, I know that you've told us this before. And it's always, you try to stop him before the punchline. Like,
Is or was your dad a fan of stand-up? Like, did you hear him, did you see him, like, watching or listening to stand-up when you were a kid?
No, I think my dad had a whole life that his family doesn't know about. Like,
really?
Just details will come out. He's like, yeah, man, I saw Lenny Bruce. Like, what? I saw Lenny. He's like, yeah, they had to sneak him out the back because the feds were out in front waiting to arrest him. I'm like, you were going to see Lenny Bruce? Like, they went, I guess, their early dates, my mom or dad went to see George Carlin somewhere.
Really?
Like, yeah, I think my dad was, like, part of this whole counterculture scene and, like, will not speak of it at all. And I'd love to know about it. And it's just like, nope, they're not chit-chatting about it anymore. I'm like, all right, I don't know what kind of life y'all had, but at one point you were listening to cool music and listening to, like, this new art form called stand-up comedy, all kinds of stuff.
That's awesome. The irony there. One of their first dates was stand-up. Yeah, I used to drill my parents. So I would try to, like, kind of try to get info out of them about certain counterculture stuff. And the closest I ever got was, I think maybe my mom smoked a little pot only because she claimed to be a huge fan of the Allman Brothers when she was young. I was like, and she saw them in concert a couple times. Like, you're 22 years old going to see the Allman Brothers. You're probably smoking a joint at that show.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on. How big of a fan are you? Tell us just how big of a fan you are.
Yeah. And I don't think my dad ever smoked, but, He definitely drank. He drank till I was about 4 or 5, and then he stopped. But every time he would bring up Germany, because he was stationed over there during Vietnam. He wasn't in Vietnam, but he was stationed over there during Vietnam. But every time he'd bring it up, he'd be like, best beer in the world. Best beer in the world. It's like, he must have, I had a feeling Dad put him back over there in Germany. He's like, oh, it's great. We'd go get off work, go to the bar. Get a some brand of beer that I forgot, but he would get that and a Wiener Schnitzel or a kielbasa or something. He's just always talking about eating sausages German and drinking food, huge man. Mugs of beer. Mm-hmm. Like, have you been to Germany?
I was there's a show in Berlin a couple years ago, and I had gone when I was a little kid. Mm. It was neat. I mean, I wasn't only there for a couple days, but yeah, it really. It seemed like so progressive. I kind of got the idea that because of its history, at least Berlin, I was in Berlin, like maybe because of the history that rubber band snapped back the other way so hard to be like, you know, no, now we have to be accepting. We understand the errors of, like, kind of like maybe a little bit with Atlanta, but like with like some of the cities in the South where the cities themselves are so, into like Chicago, like, oh, that's punk rock bar and it's white dudes, or like go South Side and that's the hip hop bar, it's black dudes. They're still segregated in a city that's supposed to be so liberal and progressive. But then in the South, I remember, I think it was in Charlotte or something, we went into some bar and it was, they were playing like D-Light on the jukebox, but it looked like a bunch of punk rock people of all colors, and they were breakdancing to D-Light.
Nice.
And it was like everybody was into everything. And I was just wondering if, like, because the outskirts are so segregated and racist, and that once you're in the city, like, we don't have time to squabble over scenes. We're all one scene, which is like, let's move beyond our past, you know?
Yeah.
Which I thought was really cool. Like, yeah, we don't have time to, like, oh, I like this music. I'm like, no, man, we're all one unit of progression here.
Yeah. I think that's definitely the case with Atlanta. I mean, being the biggest city in the South and most progressive city in the South, like, it's just a beacon for anybody that wants to break away from that old culture they were raised in.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of which, Georgia turned blue for the first time in 28 fucking years.
Yeah.
That makes me feel good. But yeah, Atlanta, huge gay population. Obviously, huge African-American population, the art scene, you know, there's so much music and theater. There's so much going on there. And it's seriously, I mean, like any big city, but especially in the South, like you drive 15 miles in any direction and it's still 1960. But Atlanta is about as progressive as they get. And boy, that made me proud. Made me proud that Georgia finally turned blue.
They got, you know, just, Stacey Abrams down there putting in the hard work trying to get everybody. Credit to her, huh?
Apparently registered 800,000 people to vote in the last 2 years. Good for her.
Nice. Good on you,
Stacey. I just love thinking about, not to shit on my hometown, but, oh, man, I grew up and went to school with so many backwards, closed-minded dipshits. And just thinking about them, the ones I'm thinking of surely are still there, and just thinking how pissed they must be that their state is blue. Ugh. Democrats.
Do you have any, like, circumstances where it's, like, change of heart with some people? Like, it's a hard thing to do. I'm... You know, now as a firearms owner and like reading more into it and like realizing how some of the gun laws are kind of ridiculous. And the more stuff I'm learning about, like, okay, you know, my previous thoughts were based in, like, I was reading the news stories I wanted to read and being reactionary based on that. So I'm learning. It's still tough, man. I'm still trying to go to, like, YouTube University about, like, gun cleaning, and it still always winds up descending into some kind of, like, you want this polished up because if you have to rack your gun with one hand because perhaps you're covered in mud or bloody. I'm like, all right, dudes, let's calm the fuck down. What if you're covered in blood? If you're covered in blood, you're fucked. Let's just say that. Like, on what situation? So that's why I'm like, I'm liberal gun club and John Brown gun club. I'm trying to get my resources through there. But to read about a group, it's like, yes, we're liberals, but we agree that this side of our political leanings are kind of bullshit.
Socialist Rifle Association, baby.
Yeah, I'm up in that one.
Nice.
But I wonder if there's anybody you knew from the South where all of a sudden later on you're like, oh, shit, you really kind of flipped around the other way or went the other way. Went from somebody like. More for me, it was more like surprise, like, oh, you're going hardcore conservative? Okay, interesting.
Mm. No, not that I'm aware of, only because you got to remember, I haven't lived in Georgia in 8 years. I haven't lived in my hometown in about 12. So I don't really have a lot of contact with people that I grew up with. I would like to think that some of the idiots that I went to high school with have grown up and thought for themselves a little bit. That's the thing in the South, man. It's just that school of thought of, like, I'm not going to develop my own opinions and thoughts. Yeah. I'm a Republican because my daddy was a Republican. And being able to break away from that's the best thing that ever happened to me. I mean, I've told you this. I was a Republican until I was about 25. I voted for George Bush twice.
Yeah, you were saying,
George W. Like, only because it was just, and even then I wasn't very political as well. It was just like, well, this is how I was raised. We're Republicans and Democrats are sissies, so I'm going to vote Republican. And then, seriously, this sounds so cliche, but it's so true. When I started smoking weed, it started expanding my mind a little bit. And the girl I was with at the time was like, you know, hey, try, you know, let's try thinking a little deeper than what we've been groomed to think.
Yeah.
And when I started smoking weed in my mid-20s, everything changed. And it just, and not that, you know, again, I'm not trying to convert anybody, but I was so proud of myself and it was such a revelation and it was so refreshing to be like, oh, okay. Even though my parents and my grandparents don't agree with me, I'm developing these opinions and these thoughts and these philosophies. Yeah. And I think the arts have a lot to do with that. Anybody who's creative, whether it be music or writing or comedy or anything, I think that helps a little bit. And
yeah.
Pot definitely helps.
Well, that's what's like the folks that I knew that were kind of like, oh, we were all doing like arts and bands and everything. And then they went right wing. I was like, oh, I'm surprised. Some people I'm not surprised. What am I trying to say? It's hard to change later in the game because then you're basically admitting to yourself that you were wrong about something. That's a difficult thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think, like, especially nowadays, you know, as much as it's fun to laugh at the guys with 19 Trump flags out their truck, it's like some of them still were like, yeah, Trump's a bad guy. I'm still Republican, but I gotta bite my tongue and vote for this other guy. That was my one buddy. I remember, like, the first time around, I'm going to hold my nose and vote for Trump just because I don't like him, but these are the policies. Like, he's on the side that of the policies I agree with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've said this before. I'll listen to those arguments. It's if you want to talk nuts and bolts and X's and O's, I'll listen to that. But when it's when your political identity is just based on whites are better and squashing the rights of others that don't look or think like you, come on. Fuck off.
Yeah.
That's just something I just can't ignore. Just someone a lot smarter than me put it well, I think it was I forgot his name. The dude, the documentary "I Am Not Your Negro," James Baldwin.
Mm-hmm.
He said it perfectly, and I don't have it right now. But he paraphrased it basically like we can argue policy, but the line is drawn when you're trying to ignore my existence as a human being. You know, you're trying to take away a certain group's basic human rights, then that's when we have a problem. And that's basically the philosophy that turned me from a conservative to a liberal.
Yeah.
It's like, how in good conscience can you... And half of them won't admit it. Most of them won't admit it. But it's a lot of it is rooted in, well, make America great again. Like, back when black people were 3/5 of a human? Like, what part of American history you want to go back to? What are you talking about?
Well, that's my hang-up. I thought Eric Andre had a pretty funny joke in his new special about, like, the I just think, like, we're still holding on to the Constitution. Like, it's the greatest thing that's ever written.
Yeah.
And God forbid you ever doubt that. God forbid you ever doubt this. Where are we at? 200 and some odd year old document.
Yeah.
Written by old white dudes for old white dudes. Still, it's getting to the point where it's like when people quote the Bible, like, that's just old, man. But Eric Andre talking about all the amendments, but the one that's like allowing soldiers to live in your house is also, that's like this is the shit we have. Like, so granted, I'm not loud about it, 'cause not like I got another document to put in its place, but maybe we need to start thinking about how that was written for a very specific group of people a long time ago. But again, I don't have my own list of personal amendments, so I'm not going to be too adamant about it. Burn the Constitution. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that you got to start changing some stuff on there, man. What we got? Ghouls and goblins. Dragons.
You want to get into a topic?
Dragons and werewolves.
I got to, let's get into it real quick. Every time we have a new president, in the last handful of transitions, one thing that always jumps to my mind is UFO disclosure. Do you think Biden's going to spill the beans? Do you think that presidents, how much do they even know? When Hillary was running 4 years ago, I think she made it pretty obvious. She made some statements about how she was going to drop the disclosure stuff, let us all know what's going on.
She
of course, that didn't work out.
She was reaching for anything to get people to like her. It didn't work.
Yeah. But, I'm curious to see in that context if Biden's going to – how much he's going to reveal, if any. I don't think Trump has I don't think he's really done much at all in terms of disclosure. He has made a few comments saying that I'm paraphrasing, but he – in some press conference, he said in regards to Roswell, New Mexico, that he knows some interesting things. So it's obvious that the presidents, or at least you'd like to think the presidents and higher ups in the government, are a little more aware of what's going on than the general public.
That was a Brooks Whelan joke that, like, right when Trump got elected, he's like, "Listen, this sucks, but let's be honest. If anybody's going to spill the beans about aliens, it's going to be Trump." And I did believe, like, I think early on people are like, don't tell him secrets. Like if you do have the privilege to know if they're real as a president, they didn't tell him. They're like, he's already mismanaging things on a global scale. We can't have it be universal.
Yeah.
We can't have we can't have a universal fumble.
Well, that's true. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I don't think we had it. They told us. The Navy was like, we don't know what this is. And that's how fucked up the last 4 years have been. is that people didn't, that wasn't even a news story for more than a week, that the U.S. military was like, we saw UFOs. And we're like, not now. Trump said something on Twitter again. Like, that's how, and when people are, when the other side does argue, like, well, they just focus on him so much. I'm like, I do agree that maybe some of that shit was non-news stories. Yeah, fucking idiot's got a Twitter account. Get over it, everybody. He talks out his ass.
Yeah.
I need to ignore people that talk out their ass. So, I don't know. But if there is proof, I don't think Biden's going to, I don't think Biden can undermine the healing of the nation by throwing UFOs out there. He needs to retain as much credibility as he can. Although it might turn the everybody else, all the QAnon wackos that are already into conspiracy theories. Maybe that's a little crumb he can throw them.
Well, I, as much as I shit on Trump, I will say one thing that he did that I thought was a decent idea, and you're probably going to laugh, but I think we probably need a space force eventually. I mean, I wouldn't know where, like, starting now, I don't know how you would build that from scratch, like, unless they're responding to intel that they're not letting the American public know about, but at some point, we might need some sort of plan for defense against extraterrestrial beings. So, as cartoonish as that sounded, that was one of the few things where I was like, it's not a bad idea.
I mean, it is. I'm still fascinated with the idea of the golden record. So, I mean, government-sponsored attempts or government-sponsored acknowledgement has been there for a while. Conspiracy or not, or actual facts of like, hey, we're sending a spacecraft out there. We better put a little message for our friends in the cosmos in case they encounter it. So it has been taken seriously to an extent. I don't know if, like, it's hard to admit Trump might have a good idea about the Space Force thing. I don't know. But is that what you want to do? Are they coming to be mean? That's the thing. What are you going to do? Like, what are you just going to put?
I don't know how you put
a machine gun on an old spaceship and have it just float around. We don't even know what, like, are they going to have, like, either they come in total peace with no weapons and they're like, well, let's avoid this place. All they do is have guns pointed at us. You know, do you make planet Earth look like an American embassy in some war-torn third world country so that nobody wants to come near it? I see both sides of the argument is what I'm saying.
Well, here's a few stories involving presidents and UFOs. Some of these are pretty outlandish. Some of them aren't. I'll start with an easy one to swallow. Jimmy Carter, obviously president, 76 to 80. When he was running for...
peanut jockey.
When he was... old Jimmy Carter. He's from Plains, Georgia. when he was running for governor of Georgia back in 69, he claimed to have seen a UFO. And he was with a big group of people who saw it. Blue light hovering for several minutes and then took off. That was when he was running for governor. When he got into the White House, one of his first things that he did was he inquired to the CIA about disclosure. He wanted to get the scoop, and it was George W. Bush. No, actually, George H.W. Yeah, this is a misprint. George H.W. Bush, who was CIA director, denied Carter access to any of that intel.
Really? So,
Yeah, just flat out said, nah, you're on a need-to-know basis. And I don't know what happened after that, if he ever did gain any intel. But he just flat out said, hey, I'm the president. I want to know what's going on with this. And George H.W. was like, nah, that's okay. So, really? A lot of people don't realize that. But Jimmy Carter claimed to have seen a UFO. So that's pretty interesting. This one we've talked a little bit about before. Do you remember a couple years ago we talked about Valiant Thor? The alien, apparently met with Eisenhower. here's the story. Okay. Early in Eisenhower's presidency, he took an emergency trip to Palm Springs, California, and under the guise of a vacation. even though a week before he had just gone on an official vacation, I think, in Florida. But a week later, out of nowhere, had to rush off to Palm Springs, California for a vacation. Mm-hmm. And disappeared for about a day and a half. Nobody could get a hold of him. I think even a lot of the Secret Service people didn't know what was going on. They didn't know if he had had a heart attack or some sort of medical emergency. Mm-hmm. But the rumor is that he went and had a top secret meeting at Edwards Air Force Base and basically got all kinds of intel. This guy named Gordon Duff, who was senior editor of the Veterans Organization, Veterans Today, he was part of that. He says that that Eisenhower saw classified documents and this basically involves the 1953 treaty. Okay, what they think is he went to, it's confirmed that he took a secret trip to Edwards Air Force Base, which is not far from Palm Springs. He said that he, when he was off the grid for a day and a half, it was because he had a dental emergency. And then he showed up at some function the next day and was like, yeah, I had a dental emergency. And a lot of people in the circle were real confused and thought that that was odd because nobody was talking about it. But anyway, apparently he rushed off to Edwards Air Force Base and signed some treaty. And I think we talked about it during that Valiant Thor episode. But let me see my notes here. 1954, the race of... okay, here's the treaty that he apparently signed, and it was a 50-year treaty. It lasted from 54 to 04. But in 1954, a race of large-nosed gray aliens, which had been orbiting the Earth, landed at Holman Air Force Base. Now, this is the speculation. A basic agreement was reached. This race identified themselves as originating from a planet around a red star in the constellation of Orion, which we called Betelgeuse. I'm mispronouncing that, I'm sure. They stated that their planet was dying, and at some unknown future time, they would no longer be able to survive. The meeting at Holman Air Force Base in New Mexico was reportedly the site of subsequent extraterrestrial meetings with the same extraterrestrials who signed the 1954 treaty. So from 72 to 73, for example, producers Robert Emmenegger and Alan Sandler.
The cough afterwards.
That was, yeah, my Emmenegger. Emmenegger.
Emmenegger. Taking a turn.
Yeah. And Alan Sandler. They had allegedly been offered and witnessed actual Air Force film footage of a meeting involving gray extraterrestrials that occurred at Holman Air Force Base in 71. Mm-hmm. Cooper explained that the terms of the 54 treaty reached with the gray extraterrestrials are as follows. So here's the terms of that treaty. The treaty stated that the aliens would not interfere in our affairs and would not and we wouldn't interfere with theirs. We would keep their presence on Earth a secret. They would then furnish us with advanced technology that would help us in our technological development. They would not make any treaty without with any other Earth nation. They could this is where it gets interesting. The treaty states that the extraterrestrials could abduct humans on a limited basis for the purpose of medical examination and monitoring our development, with a stipulation that the humans would not be harmed and that they would be returned to their point of abduction with no memory of the event, and that the alien nation would furnish Majesty 12 with a list of all human contacts and abductees on a regular scheduled basis. So basically, the treaty was like, okay, we know that aliens exist. We know that sometimes they visit Earth. We won't spill the beans on you guys if y'all don't spill the beans on us in terms of our technology, and also y'all can abduct a certain amount of humans as long as you don't do any permanent damage to them.
Stipulations?
Isn't that nuts? Maybe that's why, like, people have been getting
limit side note, three per state, guys. Limit three per state. All right.
It's seriously.
Like got a real guys, listen, alien buddies, we're gonna do a BOGO next month. All right. We're gonna do buy one, get one free for you guys. It's been real cool. For sure, appreciation.
But dude, I mean, that might explain. Side note, I watched Fire in the Sky last night, and that Travis Walton story, he got abducted, which, by the way, anybody seen that movie, Robert Patrick, who's kind of the star, looks exactly like Sturgill Simpson in that movie. It's so freaky. Looks exactly. I don't know if a young Sturgill saw that movie and was like, that's my look. I'm going to do that.
Really?
But anyway, that's that story that happened in 75 in Arizona. Those guys were loggers or lumberjacks, and then one of the guys got sucked up by an alien and then came back a couple days later.
That one, I mean, it's one of the few scary movies Rachel watched because apparently they filmed some of it like down the street from where she used to live in here in Oregon.
Like,
there's some scene like scene in front of like a small gas station or convenience store.
Oh.
She's like, it fucked me up. Yeah, I won't watch movies like that ever again.
But yeah, that's the treaty that apparently Eisenhower signed with these extraterrestrials that they could abduct a certain amount of Americans as long as they were A, returned unharmed, and B, were returned in a manner that they wouldn't have any memory of.
Well, so did we get some of theirs?
Well, that's the question. Like, in return, are they helping us with advanced technology?
So we get technology and they could just take some hillbillies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
What?
Why wouldn't they just
be like, here, take these ones? Because that would overlap with all the other government stories of them abducting people and selling them into government pedo rings, if you want to buy into that one. You know, here, we got this pedo ring, but some of the ugly kids aren't moving. You can have those. Got this bruised and reduced bin of fucking children we're trying to peddle to.
Dented cans.
Peddle to closeted congressmen.
Oh, man. But if that's true, that's crazy to think about that Eisenhower was negotiating terms with aliens, and then some of those terms included it was okay for Americans to be abducted. That's why so many UFO abductees come back with no memory. They're like, I don't know what happened.
What? I wonder if, like, how do you get on that? Like, because they're not picking, they're always picking rural people.
Well, I mean, that makes sense in that less people around to witness what's going down, as opposed to just scooping somebody up in downtown Los Angeles.
There's a lot to unpack here. Mm-hmm. So there, I wonder if they even wanted people, and they're like, you could take some of these people. They're like, I guess. It's like such a, like, we really are not interested. No, please take them.
Mm-hmm. Dude, but okay.
But what technology, then? What's the technology that we got from them?
I mean, who's to say? I mean, there's all that technology in terms of what we're doing in the military. Who's to say that the aliens aren't helping us?
But there's been,
you know,
no,
some of these.
But there's been no, like, gap. There's been no major leap from one development mm-hmm. to the next. Like, everything did happen rapidly in the 20th century, mm-hmm. but not where it wasn't like, oh, we developed flight, and then we developed this, and this is how we develop nuclear weapons, and this is how we develop methods of propulsion. And, you know, space travel, I feel like it's all been documented, like, because this, then this happened, and then this happened. So it's all traced. It's not like all of a sudden, you know, Peter Parker just becomes Spider-Man without, you know, and can't explain to anybody. They can just swing from webs that he jizzes out everywhere. It's like everything had a trace point.
Well, I mean, there's still so much stuff that we're probably not aware of, you know, classified stuff from NASA or the government, you know, in terms of anything. It could be, there's no telling what intel we may have gained that isn't public knowledge yet.
I haven't, I'll point this out, I have not said fuck no yet to this. You told All right, me, well, here's you told one me you to might... get that ready in the holster. For what we're going to talk about, and I have not. I have not said that.
Okay. Okay, well, get it queued up, because you might need it on this next story.
Look at Eisenhower.
All right, this is pretty interesting. Apparently, I didn't know this, but Richard Nixon, President Nixon, was real good buddies with a former actor or deceased actor, Jackie Gleason. They were real tight, and they were golfing buddies.
Okay.
And get this. All right, one day... In 1973, Nixon slipped away from his Secret Service detail. Apparently, he was notorious for slipping his Secret Service detail. I think he did that several times where, like, he's just on the loose by himself with no security. So one day in 73, he slipped his Secret Service detail. He showed up at Gleason's house alone. This is in Florida. They were, he was down in, I think Gleason lived down near Miami at the time or had a home in Miami. But anyway, so he shows up at Jackie Gleason's house alone, no Secret Service. Imagine that, like the current, the sitting president just knocks on your door and he's just by himself. Oh, hey, Richard. He showed up. Gleason answers the door. Nixon said, quote, I want to show you something. So Nixon then drove Gleason and himself to Homestead Air Force Base, not far from Gleason's home in South Florida. Security guard noticed them at the gate, was shocked to see the two famous men. He waved them through. They entered a heavily guarded building. Again, this is at Homestead Air Force Base.
This is when Nixon was president.
This is in 73 when Nixon was president, right before he... I was going to say, yeah, he got impeached, right? Or he resigned before he resigned. Got impeached. Yeah. Yeah, right before he left office unceremoniously. Anyway, so they go in to Homestead Air Force Base. Gleason was completely aghast when Nixon showed him this room that had about a half a dozen giant freezers. And in those freezers, Gleason saw mangled dead bodies of gray aliens.
All right.
How about that?
Fuck no on that one, man. Okay. Like,
apparently,
I believe that Nixon couldn't keep a secret. I mean, he blew it with the whole Watergate thing, and that was like, well, you're okay. You know, hey. Hey, you know who get a kick out of these all these dead aliens? My buddy Jackie Gleason.
Yeah. And apparently Gleason went home, told his wife what happened, and he said he couldn't sleep for 2 or 3 days. But yeah, Nixon took him to that Air Force base and took him into a room with a bunch of freezers or coolers.
Who said this story? Jackie Gleason?
Yeah. Well, his wife retold the story at least one time to some reporters.
He was trying to give people when he said to the moon. It was actually a threat to extraterrestrially deport his wife. It wasn't a threat of violence. It was like, I know people who could actually get you expunged from planet Earth.
I always thought that was bizarre, too. I guess that was different times back then. But just the playfulness of, I'm going to punch my wife in the face. Ha ha.
Oh, he never did it. Maybe that's why that was their technicalities. Like, no, I'm not going to punch her. I'm going to talk to my friend, President Nixon, who will have you intergalactically deported. figure it all out right there.
He also showed him... wreckage of a crashed UFO, and Nixon assumed that the mangled bodies were the occupants of said wrecked UFO. But yeah, just Nixon and Jackie Gleason just doing a little tire kicking at an Air Force base looking at dead gray alien bodies.
Yeah, that one really sounds like Jackie Gleason was just getting bored with his regular lies to his wife while he was out on benders. He's like, all right, where was I last night? President Nixon picked me up to see aliens. Do you believe that? Or do you want to hear I was banging some waitress from the Friars Club again? What story do you want out of me?
Which now makes me think, that was in 73. One of my favorite movies is Smokey and the Bandit, which came out like 79 or 80. So while he's playing Buford T. Justice, next time I watch that movie, I can look at him playing that character and know that this person allegedly has seen up close dead gray alien bodies. Diablo sandwich and a Dr. Pepper. Make it snappy. I'm in a goddamn hurry.
Hush puppies, Daddy.
That is such a funny fucking movie.
Do you When's that remake? When do you get to play Buford T. Justice in a remake?
God, I would love that. Oh man.
I was always a big fan of the movie The Toy.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good one.
With Richard Pryor before I realized that Richard Pryor. It's like your first experience, like, oh, there was legendary stand-up comedian Richard Pryor. I'm like, I just thought he was funny because the Wonder Wheel popped and he was trying to keep it inflated. They let a kid buy a black guy. That was the premise. That was the premise of that movie. That kid could have whatever he want, and so they bought a black guy for him.
Oh man. A little tone deaf.
You want to do a racial reversal remake of that movie?
Yeah.
I want to see Cedric the Entertainer by a white dude for his family.
Oh boy.
Who died? No, Cedric. Was he? No, Bernie Mac died. I was getting Bernie Mac and Cedric confused. Bernie Mac. I get my kings of comedy. God.
What a beast he was. I ain't scared of you motherfuckers.
Kings of comedy. You wanna?
I pull my shit out, the whole room will turn dark. He said he was gifted, big boned.
I still do all Cedric's bits from Kings of Comedy.
Oh, man.
That and
he's in a new movie. He's in a new stand-up movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's called The Opening Act.
Okay.
I believe that's him.
It's a movie about stand-up, like a fictional movie, or it's just like a concert?
Yeah, a fictional movie about stand-up. He's like a headliner, and then Asian dude, Jimmy A. Yang, who's in Silicon Valley.
Oh, Jimmy O. Yang,
he's like the opener, the young upstart who's trying to break into the business, and I guess Cedric's giving him some work. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen it. I just saw the trailer. It looked decent. A lot of the people we know are in that movie. I think I saw Brooks Whelan in that trailer. I think
Brooks is in that.
Yeah.
Who was it showed up? Didn't Billy Wayne show up in a Borat movie?
Yes. Shout out to Billy Wayne. He's the one that brought up whatever Borat's character was, Country Joe or somebody. I forgot. But he brings him up at that rally.
As much as I know he's pranking, getting Giuliani to look like a pervert. It's I don't need any more of that stuff. Because for every one of those gotcha moments, it's a gotcha moment on somebody who just didn't deserve it.
Yeah, there was a real sweet black lady in there, and they weren't really getting her, but she kind of got caught up in it a little bit. And it was just she seems cool. Why are we trying to trick her?
I read about that, and then there was a fundraiser because she still only made she thought she was going on a job interview, and they just paid her a day rate for the thing. Gotcha comedy is not my brand.
No, I mean, that movie's good at what it is. He's good at what he's trying to do, but that stuff's never appealed to me. Prank shows, hidden camera shows.
That being said, I'll watch a Jackass anytime you got one.
Yeah, I'll watch that stuff.
I was watching thinking you're not going to get me again, but I'll watch this new one. Then I'd see the new one and be motherfuckers, you got me. Never seen so many dicks.
First, my first night in L.A., the night I first showed up, I went to 7-Eleven and saw Chris Pontius. And I was like, man, I really am in L.A. This is neat.
Yeah, you'll see a celebrity your first week and then it never happens again. The magic, you'll see one celebrity and be like, man, Hollywood's crazy. And then the next 6 months, you'll see 17 different homeless guys shitting against a fence, and that's it. That's the magic, because that's it. Shit, man. I don't know. Well, first story, Eisenhower having a negotiation. I'm kind of curious. Mm-hmm. I just looked it up. I see that somebody made a fictional movie about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, somebody, where'd it go here? It's called low-budget fictionalized movie about that idea called The 11th Green.
Okay.
So maybe I'll watch that. As far as I'm going to say fuck no on the Jackie Gleason, President Nixon buddy comedy where they go to see alien dead bodies.
Oh, Oh, but that's the movie I want to see.
As a movie in and of itself, like, oh, you got me. This is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. As a fact you're trying to present me with, no fucking way. Mm-hmm. But if somebody wants to write that script based off of one anecdote, that could be a strange little gold mine. Maybe that's what we need to do. We need to write this movie.
Dude.
You'll still get to be Jackie Gleason.
Oh my God.
We'll get a hologram of Anna Nicole Smith to play Richard Nixon just because. If we're going weird, we got to go all the way weird.
Oh my God. Well, good times. I got a recipe for you this week. Not really a recipe. I'm just going to brag a little bit. I tell you last week I was going to do this? I made beef short rib stew.
I saw a picture of it and it looked beautiful.
Dude. Just freestyling it. Just kind of doing a little improv action in the kitchen. Started off with some bone broth. I had some beef bone broth that I had saved away. So had that going. Roasted off some onions, some garlic, some tomatillos, roasted that off, pureed that, mm-hmm. add that to the mix. Then I seared off some beef short ribs on the bone, had about four of those, just seared them real nice, set those aside. Had the broth, had the puree of tomatillos, garlic, and onions. Then I added some carrots, some celery, a little red cabbage, some mushrooms, and just a few spices. Then I threw those short ribs back in there, let that simmer for about 3 or 4 hours. Towards the very end, I pulled the ribs out, took them off the bone, chopped them up, threw the meat back in, let it simmer a little more. Oh, boy. It was A-OK.
Yeah.
Treated me right. I'm leaning into soups and stews right now, dude. I'm so jealous of... The only reason I don't like living in Southern California is we don't really get a fall, but we've had a fall this week. I mean, it's been chilly around here. It's chilly, meaning 56 as opposed to 86.
You put a sweatshirt on. It's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I broke out the hoodie for the first time last night when I was walking Charlie. But yeah, a little brisk weather out here. And yeah, soup and stew season, buddy. Beef short rib stew. Don't really have a recipe written down. I will, I'll do that and include that in my next cookbook. But, yeah, just, freestyle that shit. Was get you some beef broth or bone broth, puree some veggies and, a little beef short rib, throw in whatever. That's what I love about soups and stews is just throw in whatever you got. I had a little red cabbage laying around. I had some carrots. Just throw that shit in there.
It'll cook down. It'll cook down, man.
Yeah. It was real good.
I like it. We got to do some grocery shopping. I'm going to look up some, look up a little soup and stew recipe for the Instant Pot. I feel confident with my Instant Pot. I can measure and weight.
You can measure.
That's all you got to do. You got to Instant Pot, measure and weight. That's all you got to be able to do.
Yeah. Well, soups and stews in general, just, yeah, one step at a time. Don't get ahead of yourself and just add some shit to the pot. Cook it down, simmer it, boom. Good times.
Yeah, dog.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Well, let's land this craft.
Let's do it. What do you got to plug? Anything? New shirts available, anxiousandangry.com?
You know, there's merch. There's merch. I got, like I said, I was going to do some Twitch this week. I think so. If anybody's getting into that, I'm on there. It's just Kyle Kinane or Kinane or whatever. I think I might try and play that new Call of Duty. I suck at it. I'll just play it and make fun of it this weekend. I might be on during the week. I'll put it up. Put it up on the socials, man. Let you know. But yeah, I'm going to do that, buddy. Now. I'm going to do that stuff.
Yeah, I'm looking into it too. I'm not into video games, so maybe I'll get on Twitch and just cook soups and stews for a couple hours.
Dude,
and watch me do that.
People, and you just sit there, and I had to get over the psychology of thinking like, oh, it's got to be a show. I've got to have jokes. It's like, no, people are just looking to hang out. There's no pressure. It's just kicking it, interacting with people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice because there's the barrier of a keyboard and everything. So it's not like after shows I get bugged out because, you know, everybody's drunk and I'm like, I don't know how to like sometimes handle just, you know, no offense. I'm a drunk. I love drunks. peace be with you. But when a drunk person is just talking at you, not with you, it's kind of a difficult interaction after you've just spoken for an hour plus and you have nothing else to discuss. Like, I don't want to talk anymore. I just talk for an hour. I want to shut up for a while. But Twitch is fun. It's just hanging out. It's, you know, it's hard for people to be a total dick. If they're just in a little chat room, you don't like them, you can get rid of them.
There you go. Yeah, I'm going to look into that, man. I got on there the other day and watched a little bit of Ron Funches.
Yeah, Funches just kicks it. Yeah. Pemberton's always on there doing weird stuff. So yeah, let's get down with it.
That sounds fun. Well, right on, buddy. And Hey Girl, every Friday still?
Hey Girl's on Friday. We skipped last week because Bronger was traveling. It was all like everything was just election news anyway, so we weren't saturating that. But that's on Fridays. What else we got? Nothing yet. I'm getting back into it, man. You guys got Stonebergs. I saw you skip that because you were partying too much this week.
Stonebergs is going to permanently move to Wednesdays instead of Mondays. Katie's training people now. Her personal training business is picking up. She's got all kind of clients now.
Oh, nice.
And so now we're just having to kind of rearrange our schedule. But, yeah, new Stonebergs dropping Wednesday and every Wednesday thereafter, moving from Monday to Wednesday. So make a note of that, Stoneberg fans.
New America, beneficial for everybody already.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. All right, buddy. Good catching up. We'll talk to you next week.
Soups and stews.
The Boogie Monster.
Podcast Network.